at 84th Street Church of Christ. We are certainly thankful and grateful for the presence of everybody here, everyone who's here this morning gathered to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we look to do so in spirit and in truth. So if there is anything that has been said so far, that has been done through the different acts of worship, that you have questions about, please ask us. Maybe we can have a Bible study, we can have discussions on these things, because everything we do, we look to find in God's Word and do according to what we see as His Word commands us and directs us. And certainly hope that everyone has enjoyed, like I said, services so far this morning. And as we get into this hour of study, we're actually going to be picking up with the study that we had last week. And if you weren't able to be here or you're visiting this morning, we'd like to encourage you to go back and go listen to that. It's on our website on 84th Street, or it's called 84thChurch, I think, .com is our website. I should probably figure that out. So if I'm going to get up here and say that, 84thChurch.com. But get on there and listen to it, because it is this morning's lesson is a continuation from last week. And what we talked about last week was our deliverer. And where we got our text from was from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And before we get started, we noted a few things in this letter to the Galatian brethren. Paul's writing this letter to them, and this is something that as far as from the brethren of Galatians' perspective, they would have a definite certain level of admiration for Paul. Paul had worked with them for a period of time, and we see in the book of Acts that in this area of Galatia where Paul was preaching and teaching, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead. And yet he continued to go on preaching the gospel to them. And so they would have the certain level of admiration for Paul, the certain level of respect for Paul and care for him. And Paul even notes that in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 15, where Paul tells them, if I can get my fingers to work, 4, verse 15, Paul tells them, For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So Paul notes, and he knows that there is this certain level of admiration and respect that they have for him. They cared for him. And so as Paul starts writing this letter to them, it's going to be one that they're going to listen to. It's not coming from somebody who they haven't met before. It's coming from somebody who has worked diligently with them, who helped establish various churches, helped appoint elders in this area, and helped encourage them. And so, noting that and having that foreknowledge, he then gets into this section of Scripture, starting this letter by saying, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God our Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And really what we focused on last week was here in verse 4, where he tells them who he's speaking about Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And what we noticed were three main points as Paul starts this letter. The three main points Paul goes into as he's starting this is, Christ gave himself for our sins. And understanding and knowing the brethren that he is writing to here, the brethren of Galatia, those that were Gentiles, Christ gave himself for our sins. Christ gave himself so that those, even Gentiles, can now be one with Christ, or can now be one with God, can now have a unity, have a relationship. Prior to this, they were in bondage. That's where he gets into his next point. He might deliver us from this present evil age. They were in bondage to sin. Whenever one sins, they separate themselves from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2. And we noted from John 8 that the truth is going to set you and make you free. And then the Jews there are asking, well, why do we need to be set free? Because he who sins, Jesus says, is a slave to sin. We're slaves. They were needing deliverance. Who became that deliverer? Christ became that deliverer for them. Christ willingly gave himself so that they can be delivered from their sins. And we noted that this was according to the will of God and Father. This wasn't something that just all of a sudden came up. This was something that God had planned out. And we see it from the beginning throughout the Old Testament and into the New, culminating in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is writing to them. And he starts off this letter reminding them of this beautiful sacrifice that Jesus became. Reminding them, remember where you were. You were lost. You were in bondage. You were a slave to sin. You didn't have a right relationship with God. But now, because of Christ, he delivered you from that. You're able to, through baptism, through repentance, have a right relationship with God. Christ gave himself for that very purpose. As Paul starts off writing this beautiful letter with these beautiful words, he quickly goes and starts talking about his concern that he has for them. Yes, he starts off talking about the fact that Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, and this was according to the will of our God and Father. But he's quickly going to go in to his concern with their current state at this point in time, as he has heard. And that's where we're going to get our lesson from this morning. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be cursed. So right after Paul gets done telling them and reminding them of this beautiful sacrifice that Jesus was and the fact that Jesus now delivered them, he's that deliverer, the fact that they have a way out of that sin state, they have a way out of the bondage that they are in. He then tells them, firstly, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. And what we note from this and what we see is that people can turn away from the grace of Christ, and that's what Paul is concerned about. He's marveling the fact that they are doing this and that they are doing it so soon. He writes a little bit later in Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? What we see is that Jesus was clearly portrayed to those at Galatia. One of the things that we need to note is that he's not writing a letter to those who had not become Christians yet. He's writing a letter to those who were brothers in Christ, who were brothers and sisters in Christ. And as he's writing to them, he gets there and he says, I know Jesus was clearly portrayed to you. The love of Christ was clearly portrayed to you. They had seen the love of God. They had seen what Jesus had done for them. And that's why he starts off the letter telling them about and reminding them of that sacrifice that Jesus became. Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed to you. The love that was shown in the death on the cross. The fact that he did this willingly. The fact that he did this not for anything that he did wrong. He did it for you that you might be saved. I know that that was portrayed clearly to you. That's what Paul's telling them. He tells them in Galatians 4, verse 9. Says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? They have come to know God. He's telling them, you have come to know God. You were in that state where you've come to know God, and yet they are turning away, going away from that sacrifice that Jesus was, going away from the fact that he had delivered them, turning against God. It's much like you think of a deliverer, like we noted in our last study, Moses and the deliverer he was for the children of Israel. Be like leaving Egyptian bondage, leaving that, going out of it, walking, you are now out of Egypt, and they turn around, stop, and walk straight back in to be entangled in bondage once again. They had a deliverer that had led them out, that had got them out of the current state or situation that they were in, and yet turned and went right back to it. And Paul's telling them, this is what you have done. You have come to know God. You've come to have a relationship with Him, and yet you're turning again and going back. Galatians 5:4. Paul also tells them, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Paul's getting at here the issue that he's really getting at in general with this letter, from the fact that these brethren at Galatia, they had turned and went to this other gospel, to a different gospel, which we'll get to in a little bit more in detail in a minute, but they had turned and gone to that. And in doing so, they have become estranged from Christ. They have fallen from grace. Paul's getting right at it and getting right to the heart of the matter. Christ came and He died for you. His love for you was so strong that He gave His life for you and gave you a way out of the bondage of sin that you were in. And it was through His grace that this was done. Yet you have turned and gone away from that. You've become estranged from Christ, and you have fallen from grace. Paul doesn't beat around the bush about it. He's very concerned about the brethren at Galatia and the state that they are in. And he's concerned from the fact that they were turning away, that they were going in a different direction than what they once were once after he had worked with them. But Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't just tell them, you know, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ. He tells them what they are doing that he's concerned about. He's concerned about the fact that they turned to a different gospel. The things that we want to note is the fact that it wasn't just that these brethren turned away from Christ and were living completely immoral lives, being completely wrapped up and consumed in immoral lives. But what we see them doing is them turning to a different gospel. And not only that, but when we see this different gospel, it's not the fact that they were denying Christ and denying His death. They were turning to a different teaching of that gospel. The Judaizing teachers coming in and teaching and commanding that one needs to be circumcised. They were adhering to that, and they were going and doing that. They were adhering to that doctrine. And what we recognize is the fact that this is a different gospel. It's not another form of the gospel of Christ that's okay. It's something that's different and against and estranged from Christ, as Paul told them in Galatians 5:4. This is something that's going completely against what Christ taught. We see in Galatians 4:1, as Paul writes, Galatians 4:1-11. In verses 1-7, Paul is going through and he's telling them that they were under bondage, and that God sent Christ. And whenever He sent Christ, that they are, and they obeyed that which was there. We see in Galatians 3:27. That one is baptized into Christ. That's how they put on Christ. That's become how they become a part of Christ. They're baptized into Christ. So whenever this happened, you were no longer slaves, but a son of God, an heir through Christ. You now had this right relationship with God, is what he's telling them. And then he gets into verse 8. And he says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak, beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe the months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Starting in verse 8, Paul's telling them before God and before Christ, they were serving these idols. They weren't even gods. They were serving these idols, and were caught up in different worships and practices that were profiting them nothing. That's the state that they were in before God. They were slaves to that worship. And they had no way, they had no hope for eternal life. That's where they were. Paul tells them in verse 9, but you know God now, and you have this right relationship with God. Not only that, but God knows them. And you think about how powerful that is. Not only do you know God, not only has Christ been clearly portrayed to you, not only has God's will been clearly portrayed to you, and have you come to know God and know His will, but God knows you. And you think about how powerful that is. That me, being a man, one who sinned, one who was against God, one who caused Christ to die, God would be mindful of me, and that God knows me. He said that's where you had gotten to. Yet, they turn again and go back to the weak and beggarly elements. And again, what we recognize and realize is the fact that as Paul teaching them, they didn't go fully back to that which what they were worshiping before. What they were doing was worshiping in a manner, in following a gospel and a doctrine that was contrary to Christ. That was contrary to God's Word. Went to a different gospel, as he starts off telling them. And Paul shows his concern of this in verse 11. He shows his concern in their fear of turning away from the gospel they have given him. In his statement, whenever he says, "I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." He's afraid for him. Why would he be afraid? If everything was okay with their current relationship with God and with Christ, why would he be afraid for him? It's because it's not okay. He understands and he recognizes the issue that's there by following a different gospel, by following different doctrine, by following teaching that they had not been given by God. He's afraid for them. In Galatians 5:1-4, he continues. Stating in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You've become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the old law. You have fallen from grace." They were entangled again in attempting to be justified, in their attempt to be justified by the old law. It entangled them. It brought them back into that state of bondage. By attempting to be justified by the old law, they have fallen from grace. They were bondage again. In other words, Paul's telling them, you are in that same state that you were beforehand. Yes, Christ came for you. And yes, Christ became that death. And yes, He offered Himself for us, became that sacrifice so that we might have a hope of heaven. But what you are doing, what you have gone to, the doctrine that you are now following, it's contrary to what Christ taught. It's contrary to what God's will is. And by doing so, you've entangled yourself once again. He's saying, don't go back to that. Paul encourages them to return to the freedom that is in Christ. Not only in Christ, but in His gospel only. He's showing His concern for them. It's not only sprinkled, it's heavily hammered on and hit on throughout this entire letter. His concern for them, that which they are now practicing and believing and would be teaching as well, as that which would be required by God. He's concerned about them. So He's telling them and warning them, yes, Christ became this sacrifice for you, but you're making it of no effect to you. It's meaningless right now because of what you are doing as far as your practice, your teaching, what you're believing. Not only that, but Paul goes on and recognizes where this came from. Because he recognizes it didn't come from him and it didn't come from God. It came from somewhere. So how did they get caught up in this false teaching? He goes on, "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Paul recognizes the fact that there are those out there who are teaching this gospel and troubling the brethren that he had worked with so diligently. And in an effort, what they're doing is they're perverting the gospel of Christ. He goes on in Galatians 1, 8 through 9, the next few verses telling them, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There are those who bring other gospels, and Paul recognizes that that is what happens here. And it's really interesting the way that Paul states it. Back up to this right here. It's really interesting how Paul states it right here. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, Paul's saying, even if I preach something different than what you have been given, you aren't to listen to it. I know you think of me and admire me, but if what I am telling you is contrary to the Word of God, then you don't adhere to it. That which we had talked to you, that which had been preached to you, that which you had received, that's what you are to adhere to. Yet there are going to be those out there that go and preach and teach contrary. And when you think about Paul and the apostles and what they were teaching and preaching, that gospel that they were taking and spreading to the world, we note in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus in the Great Commission said, all authority has been given to me and in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching what? Teaching them to observe the things which I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. In Mark's account, Jesus tells him, go into all the world, preach and teach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That gospel that they went and took to the world, that the apostles are preaching and teaching, it isn't their words. It is the words of Christ. It's what Christ wanted to be taught. And so what Paul is telling them is this. We taught you, we brought the words and the gospel, the good message of Christ to you. That and that only you follow and nothing else. If anybody brings anything else to you, it's going to hinder and hurt your relationship with God, with Christ. We can't be going down the path of, you know what, we believe that Christ was and that he became the sacrifice for us, but we're going to teach something contrary to what is in his word. That is not what you can do, and that's what Paul is clearly stating out to them. And he's telling them of his concern, the fact that they're following this false doctrine. In Galatians 3:1, Paul notes, as we have stated earlier in this lesson, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. As we stated earlier, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among them crucified, and yet somebody had gone and bewitched them. There were those who came in and started teaching things that were contrary to what Paul had left them with. That message was from Christ. And in doing so, they had bewitched them. They were going down the path of this gospel that was different from Christ. Galatians 5:5-12. In Galatians chapter 5:5-12, Paul's going to continue with his concern about others coming in and teaching doctrines and gospels different from Christ. He says, starting in verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. He who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Paul notes and recognizes that somebody has hindered them. Somebody who has come in and taught this different gospel has come in and hindered them and stunted their growth, and not only that, but caused them to turn away from Christ. Paul wants to know who was hindering or troubling them. And he also recognizes and tells them, I know you didn't hear this from me. Not only, well, actually what he says is, I know you didn't hear this from him. You didn't hear this from God. He's insinuating in other areas of this chapter the fact that, I know you didn't hear this from me. This came from somebody else. I know you didn't hear this from God. So who did it come from? And if it's not going to come from God, then we can't add it to our life. We can't add it to our spiritual walk and our gospel, our doctrine, the teachings that we follow. Paul tells them and shows them the seriousness in verse 12. And he wish they would be cut off. Say all this to say that there is a seriousness surrounding the fact that one can fall from grace. One can go away from Christ. One can be in Christ, have a right relationship with Him, and then go away. You can do this by following different doctrines, by following different gospels. And that there are others out there who teach these types of things. And so what's the application to us? If that's the state of what's going on here with the brethren at Galatia, there has got to be something that we can pull from this. We know and we recognize and we realize that Paul is really dealing with Judaizing teachers coming in, teaching circumcision is required. And so we can easily state, okay, I can clearly see that circumcision isn't required. But there's a general principle that's there. There's other points that are there that we need to take and apply to our life today. The first one is, one can turn away from God. We clearly see that the brethren of Galatia had done that. And that's what Paul's concern is with them. Christ became that sacrifice, that beautiful sacrifice for you. He offered an opportunity to get out of bondage. And you had even accepted that and started down that path, yet you have turned away from God. 2 Peter chapter 2. In this section of Scripture, it is dealing with false teachers. But we get into verse 20, and it goes along with this point here. It says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Clearly, from this section of Scripture, compared to what we just talked about, one can turn away from God. One can turn away from God and go back and be entangled again and overcome with the different things of this world. It could be somebody who knew righteousness, yet they go back and are entangled. One can know God through baptism, through becoming saved again, born again Christian. Go back into the things in which he was once in. Not only that, but one can turn away from God by following a different gospel, following a different doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. He tells them why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And whenever they do this, pay attention to what Paul tells Timothy, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will turn their ears away from truth, from that which is in the gospel, that which Christ has given us. Remember, in John 8, Christ says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What do we read here? People can turn away from the truth. Whenever we do that, we go back once again, entangled and being in bondage to those things. No longer having the hope of heaven that we once had. Not only that, there are those who teach contrary to the gospel of Christ. Titus 1, starting in verse 9 here, well, actually backing up to verse 5, Paul is talking about the qualifications of different elders, but he gets down into verse 9 and he says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, talking about what an elder needs to have, the ability to hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching the things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. There are those who need to be stopped. Why? Because they're going to teach that which is contrary to the gospel of Christ. And whenever they do this, as Paul is warning Titus, they're completely destroying homes. They're going through and they're subverting whole households. How? By teaching the things which they ought not. As he tells them, this must be stopped. This isn't something that can keep on keeping on. This isn't something that can continue. We must stop this. And so we see the application to us today. One can turn away from God. One can turn away from God by following a different gospel. And that there are those who teach contrary to the gospel of Christ. So if this is the case, there are those who are going to teach contrary to the gospel of Christ, and that I can fall away if I adhere or go and follow that doctrine, then what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to know what I have been given is truth? How am I supposed to know what's being taught, what's being talked about, what's being preached from this pulpit or any pulpit in this area, or for that matter, throughout the world? How am I supposed to know what book I read? How am I supposed to know what I am reading and wanting to make application to my life is truth and going to help me get to heaven and not lead me down a path of destruction? Well, Paul tells the brethren in Galatians how they do it. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul tells the brethren in Galatians how they do it. You don't adhere to something that you haven't been given by us or by God. Like I said, if Paul says, if we come and preach something contrary to what we have already given you and that you have received, you're not to adhere to it. So one might look at ourselves and our situation today. Okay, we don't have Paul standing here preaching and teaching. And we can't sit here and say, okay, by the words of Paul, and Paul only, and that of God, that's how we'll know truth. What we recognize is that in 2 Timothy 3:16, 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what are we to do then? We're to recognize that yes, Paul might not be here preaching, Peter might not be here preaching, but the words of God we have in our hand with our Bibles. The word of God that we have, they aren't the thoughts of God, as some might suggest. These are the actual words of God Himself. And this is what He wants you to know. And as we just read, it is these words throughout the entire Bible, the Bible in its entirety, not throwing anything out, not taking anything away. That is what's going to equip us for every perfect and good work. We have what we need in order to be right with God. It's right here in front of us. So then, as we see the brethren at Berea in Acts 17:11, as they received the word with all readiness, what they did with that, they then went and searched the Scriptures daily. And they did this to find out whether the things that were being taught were so. So the application to us this morning, Christ died for us and for our sins, and He became that Savior for us. He offers us an opportunity to be delivered out of bondage. This was by the will of God. How do we know that the words that we apply to our lives are going to continue keeping us in that doctrine that Christ has for us, that gospel of Christ? How do we know? We take whatever we hear and we compare it back to the Word of God. Whatever we hear, whether it be on the news, whether it be on the radio, whether it be a podcast that we listen to, whether it be a TV show that we watch, whether it be a book that we read, that might even be written by other brethren that we count as faithful, we take what they say, we take what they write down, and we compare it back to the Word of God. Paul commends those who do so. That's what we need to do. Whether it's me or Harry up here at the pulpit preaching, whether it's Brett Hoagland, who everybody here I know loves, it doesn't matter. You take what they say and you compare it back to the Word of God. Whether it's somebody down the street at a denomination, you take what they say and you compare it to the Word of God. If all you do is take what they say and apply it to your life on the basis of because I like what they're saying, that is not going to profit you anything. You take what anybody says about anything really, but especially spiritually, doctrinally, and you compare it back to the Word of God. Because if you don't, you could be applying something to your life that's going to cause you to end up in the situation like the brethren at Galatia were. Back in bondage. Back in a state of sin, separated from God, having no hope. And God doesn't want that for anybody. So if you're here this morning, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you obeyed that which has been taught in Christ's Word, in the Bible? When Paul in his letter to the brethren of Galatians says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In order to put on Christ, in order to be in Christ, in order to have a right relationship with Him, we have to be baptized into Christ. It's not just simply by being baptized. Like Harry said, talked about this morning, we must repent of our sins. We must confess that which we've done wrong. We must recognize that Jesus came, is the Son of God. Confess our sins, repent of them, and be baptized for the remission of those sins. Have you done that this morning? If you have done so, but you have fallen away, we can help you as well. You can come forward confessing those things this morning. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. If you have any need,